following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
College football is rounding the corner, but college football is here.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Yes, welcome in. It is the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and that Radio Alabama app. And I can say all of those now this afternoon. The phone lines are back. Everything is back. And so, again, apologies for anybody, any On the Line backers that were unable, that weren't in the Auburn Opelika area yesterday. Again, about 1:40 came around, and
just the skies opened up.
It really did, and thunder and lightning. I mean, it sat right above our it felt like the ESPN 106.7 studio for 10 or 15 minutes. We got to watch the board do some really cool stuff when it was flickering on and off, and so that obviously messed everything up, but we're here. We're back, and excited to be with you here this afternoon. I'm Christian Griffin here with you in the studio. You've already heard his voice, but Trip Upton, the man across from me, sitting in the studio as well. A really, really exciting show we have for you. A lot of coverage around a whole lot of stuff. We didn't get Jacob Hillman yesterday. We have Jacob Hillman this afternoon joining us at 3:30. Also, some really, really cool stuff in hour number one as well. My man, happy Tuesday. Happy 10 days until the high school football season kicks off, which, again, fires me up. It's also like, holy cow, how are we already here?
Oh, dude, happy. You saying that fires me up so much. I'm so excited. Heading out to Auburn High School tomorrow morning to be able to catch up with Coach Keith Etheridge just for to get kind of what his schedule looks like to bring be able to bring him on this program as well as our Auburn High Sports Network things. So excited for that. I mean, just counting down the days until there's football played in the city of Auburn, Alabama, both on Academy Drive as well as in Duck Sanford Stadium. So that fires me up. But like, it's been a good day today. It's been Tuesday. We've been running around a little bit today, but wouldn't have it any other way. Just being able to, you know, meet between meetings and interviews and scheduling stuff. And look, we're going to have you a it's all in preparation for a great show today, so we're really excited to do that.
Yeah, very much so. Again, we continue to count down the college football calendar. We were told on the way out, I didn't know this, I guess that you did. We mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but the NFL preseason is here, and so this is officially like the last couple of days without football, the last weekend. Or I guess last weekend was the last weekend without football in general until like February, which is pretty exciting from the football nerd perspective. And again, in the intro, you heard me say from football to football because Auburn soccer gets going tomorrow evening. And so a really, really cool interview that we have here coming up in just a few minutes. We're going to have James Armstrong, the head coach of Auburn soccer, joining us here in the studio for a little bit to dive into everything that he saw with his team in 2025 and what he's expected to see from this team in 2026. Also have a couple of the players as well. Miss Gracie Brown and Kennedy Husbands going to be joining us as well in the studio to give the player perspective of all things leading up to tomorrow night where, again, Auburn sports are back. The Auburn soccer complex needs to be filled up for the Tigers and the Tigers. 25th ranked Clemson makes their way to town and so should be be a whole lot of fun. Really excited to get those interviews for you here in just a few minutes, and excited to tell you and also learn all about what we're expecting from this team in 2026.
Oh, dude, it's going to be exciting. I mean, I've heard that they want that fan base and the Auburn Tiger family to show out and be rowdy.
Yeah, some new rules implemented for self-bringing coolers.
Yes, exactly. So, that'll be really cool. So excited to see what they're able to do down at the Auburn Soccer Complex, and it'll be a blast, I'm sure. So they're going to give you all the information, I'm sure, to be able to let you know what you're going to be expecting down there, for sure.
Yeah, again, do with that what you will, with the free admission. And again, you can bring personal coolers now. So if you need a place to go to get a little bit rowdy before syllabus week, I know y'all are out there. I know you're tuned in. I know you're listening. And so go out to the Auburn Soccer Complex. That's where you need to go. And so we'll dive into, again, a little bit more about that here in just a few moments with Coach James Armstrong and a couple of the players, again, Gracie Brown and Kennedy Husbands as well. We have some Auburn football news that we'll be able to bring a little bit in hour number two. Not necessarily any breaking news, but I guess just pieces of detail that revolve around college football that make it to where Auburn isn't number one in a category anymore, that you feel like might not be the worst thing just based off of how the college football people talk about the Auburn Tigers. And so all of that, as well as Jacob Hillman to join us in hour number two. But a shorter segment here before, again, we welcome in a couple of guys to, or a couple of coach and a couple of players for Auburn soccer to do a little bit of interview with. And wanted to start today's show. I was not expecting a rant. And it's not even necessarily a rant. And I guess it is more so a rant, but definitely wasn't expecting it in a sport that I love, with baseball, in the Little League World Series. Because for those that have not paid attention to the college sports side of things, and again, if phone lines are closed probably throughout the day today, I know we mentioned it, it'll be open for the first 30 minutes of hour number two, but the text box is always open. The Send Medicine text box always open at 334-784-1685, 334-784-1OTL. And again, it's all brought to you by Send Medicine. At Send Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With 20-plus years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. You can become a member today by visiting senmedicine.com. That's S-E-N-N medicine.com. Appreciate all that he does for us. And again, make sure to go check him out. He'll take care of you the same way that he takes care of us. So if you have thoughts on anything throughout today's program, again, the text box is always open at 334-784-1685. But I don't think it's breaking news, Tripp, to say that the college sports world is frustrating, especially with the off season, because every single day the NCAA is in court having to either defend themselves or go against themselves, whether that's a player, whether that's a team, whether that's themselves. Feels like there's a whole lot of injunctions. It feels like there's a whole lot of appeals, a lot of denies, a lot of suings, a lot of defamation, a lot of just about everything. And man, all of the My law professors would be very happy with all of the words that I just mentioned right there. Pulled that from the memory. But restraining orders are another thing. Again, in college football and college sports, that have been very frustrating. Let me tell you something. It has worked its way into the Little League World Series.
You know, the most important sporting event in our country right now.
Who would have thought? The Tulsa, Oklahoma National Little League team has been granted a temporary restraining order. Let me repeat that again. The Tulsa National League Little League Baseball team has been granted a temporary restraining order, allowing them to compete for a spot in the Little League Baseball World Series. According to court documents obtained by USA Today Sports, this decision comes after the team was previously disqualified from the tournament on Monday, August 10th by Little League International, by the corporation, by the company that runs everything. They were disqualified because it was discovered that a team fielded a player who did not meet eligibility requirements. Oh, okay, so you do something you're not supposed to do. You play a kid who's older than he's supposed to be, or whatever the case was. Okay, you're disqualified from playing. We're going to take the route of the NCAA. We're going to take the route of college sports, and we're going to sue you, and we're going to go get a judge in our hometown to go and give a restraining order to where, yeah, you can't touch this team. You can't touch this subject in the Little League World Series. That is how far we've made it in sports, folks. Congrats. Round of applause for sports here today. Woo! Sports. A restraining order in the Little League freaking World Series.
That just, I mean, there are so many ways I could take this, Christian. There's the way that we are gumming up our legal process. We are gumming up court time, lawyer fees. We're gumming up all of this because you broke the rules and can't play in the Little World gosh darn series. I get it. It's a memory for these kids. Name me a single guy other that has ever played in the Little World Series other than the one girl that played there that is now playing professional women's baseball. That is a thing. As the kid is like, I hit dangers.
Big Al.
That's the only people you know. But yet, because of this, and they're going to go file in the 414th District Court in Waco, Texas. Why? I don't really know. I think it was from the, you know, being able to play in the Texas West Division in Waco. That's where the berth is on the line. So basically, it's just such a good to see that the college athletes and college athletics are being such great role models for these kids. Where you are more worried about, you know, where you're going to go for your post-team party. You're going to go to CC's. You're going to go to Jumpin' World. Where are you going to go? You're going to go get ice cream. They should go to Sweet Frog, friend of the show, to get some frozen yogurt. Nice. But instead, we're having to go to court. We're going to have to go play. What are we doing? What are we talking about? Why can't you just be like, man, we messed up? Imagine if in softball last year, when Smith Station was deemed ineligible, that allowed Auburn to go play in the next round of the state playoffs. Imagine if Smith Station ran to the court in Lee County, Alabama, and said, you have to – a temporary restraining order that we have to play in this tournament.
Yeah.
Unreal.
The Little League International released a statement on Monday, August 10th, announcing the team's removal and declaring Tulsa's previous game a forfeit. This decision reshuffled the tournament bracket, resulting in Texas West defeating Louisiana 4-1 in what was initially set to be the region's title game. And a quote, "To uphold the integrity of international tournaments and provide an opportunity for every team, community, and most importantly, child, to have a fair and equitable experience, Little League International relies on adult volunteers and parents to adhere to our rules, regulations, and operating policies. Little League International remains committed to supporting all children impacted by this decision and will continue to provide support and administrative guidance to the families in Tulsa National Little League." So, congratulations, Tulsa, for continuing to be able to play in the College World Series, although people didn't adhere by the rules. But what are rules? What are consequences?
Imagine if Texas West just wins. Please. That's all I want.
An absolutely wild topic of conversation. What a way to get the Tuesday edition of On the Line started. Tell you what, we're going to take a bit of an early break because, again, we mentioned it here just a few moments ago. Auburn soccer is about to get underway. We have head coach James Armstrong as well as Gracie Brown and Kennedy Husbands joining us on the show in the studio to tell you everything you need to know about the match tomorrow night as well as the season at Auburn Soccer Complex. We'll take a break and we'll have those interviews for you when we come back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
30 minutes into the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. We appreciate everybody for being here and being a part of today's program. And as we mentioned it before the break, we now turn our attention to the pitch because Auburn soccer is officially back. A new season begins tomorrow night at the Auburn Soccer Complex as the Tigers ease their way, relatively so, with another group of Tigers in the year 2026. 25th-ranked Clemson comes to town for a 6 o'clock season opener. We'll tell you more about that as the day goes along. But over the next half hour, we're going to hear from both sides of this Auburn team. First, from the man leading the program, as well as a couple of players here with us as well. But head coach James Armstrong joins us first. Coach, we greatly appreciate your time. Thanks for taking some time to join us here this afternoon.
Excited to be here. Thank you for the opportunity.
Well, Coach, when last season ended, and you had the chance to evaluate year one at this Auburn place. What did you learn about this program, not only from your time previously, but now as the head man that you wanted it to become with your name, with this Auburn logo working its way to the future?
Yeah, I think there was a lot of positives and a lot of things that we had to grow from, right? I think we took significant steps forward in building our identity on and off the field. The cultural piece was the foundation that we wanted to lay early, and I think the players did a great job of investing themselves into that. I'd be lying if I said we were satisfied with the outcome of the season.
Sure.
Going into it, 5, 6, and 7 was underachieving. I think we left a lot on the table. We were in positions to win games, and for whatever reason, we just couldn't quite get across the line. So I think that was the biggest takeaway, was how do we learn how to win close games? You know, a couple of them were just 2 minutes away from what would have been signature wins for us. And I think if we win one of those, we're probably in the NCAA tournament, right? So I think we looked at it and said, how do we get more of our type of people in, both from a staffing standpoint, but also transfer portal, obviously the early enrollees from the freshman class. But when we look back on it, we were pleased with a lot of things, but we also were disappointed that we felt we left numerous things on the table from an on-the-field standpoint.
Coach, looking at some of the players that you had last season that are now playing in the pros, talk to me about what you guys are, maybe not losing, but kind of these girls that have gone from the program and are now playing at the professional level.
Yeah, I mean, as the head coach of this program, you know, our responsibility is to make sure that we develop players both for professional soccer, but also professional in the workplace. So everybody that wanted to go pro last year found a team. We've got players in Mexico. We got players in the Czech Republic, Iceland, here in the United States. So, you know, I think that's a testament to the environment that we create here at Auburn and develop those players to go on and be successful at the next level. Obviously, all of those players were great representation of Auburn, and we'll miss them, but that's part of college athletics. You know, you develop players, they move on, and then you bring new players in that you're excited about.
Coach James Armstrong of Auburn Soccer here with us in the studio on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. And Coach, 14 returners, 14 newcomers for this team. The last time we were able to talk to you was right before the Road to 26 match. First, talk to us about that from the soccer perspective rather than the football perspective. And then hopefully some of the questions that you've learned about this team rather than those being big time question marks a couple of months ago.
Well, Road to 26, it's still very surreal to me when I look back on it. It was a really busy week for us as a program. We were hosting Iceland. Everybody was asking for tickets, you know, people I haven't spoken to in years and years and years. And then we hosted a couple of fun events, you know, for the Auburn family as well. So it was busy, but Jordan Hare's a magical stadium, right? And we've all been there when massive football games have been going on. But to see a soccer crowd there and to see an actual field, the soccer field pitch, as we call it, you know, down there was really awesome. And Argentina and Messi and you know, Iceland played a great game as well. But I think there was something like 35,000 to 40,000 tickets sold that were first time people that were purchasing for an Auburn event.
That's
so
awesome.
It was great to put Auburn on the map, you know. And June the 15th was the first time that we could speak to rising juniors from a recruiting standpoint, and that was the first talking point for all of them. You know, everybody had seen what was going on here at Auburn, and hopefully that's just the start of many future professional soccer games that we can get here on the plains.
Coach, you played Georgia Southern in an exhibition game earlier last week. Talk to me about kind of what you learned in that 3-0 win against the Eagles that is going to set you up for success this week.
We were actually lucky to play 30 minutes against Georgia before it got rained out. So that was, you know, the game before. So we've got two exhibition games. Georgia, as you can imagine, it was frantic. You know, anytime you play a first game where you're not playing against yourselves is fast. But then you put an SEC rival in there as well. We learned a lot from that. You know, we started off great, had the momentum, and then kind of plateaued and we kind of relinquished momentum a little bit, so we learned from that, and we were going to make some tactical changes going into that second period, but the players did a great job and really executed a lot of the things that we'd been working on in training. Then Georgia Southern come to town, home game. You know, it was one of those where we really dominated the game from start to finish. I think that when we were sharp and we did the simple things well, we looked really good. Every single player that was healthy got to play, which is another huge part of what we wanted to achieve in that particular game. So scored three goals, created lots of chances, dominated possession, clean sheet. You know, that's pleasing, but it will be an entirely different game against Clemson, you know, in terms of the time that we had on the ball and how we have to be organized defensively. So now the challenge is making sure that we go Saturday preseason, close that chapter, open up against obviously a good Clemson team coming here tomorrow.
The first chapter of the contest, Auburn and Clemson, 6 o'clock tomorrow night over at the Auburn Soccer Complex. Again, free admission is what we continue to hear about. Some beverages able to be attended now as well with the coolers. Again, we'll give your final pitch of that here in just a few moments. But looking at this team last year, 13th nationally in shots per game, 24th nationally in shots on goal. When you evaluate this offense, Coach, what is it about this team that you see working its way to the future that's a benefit, but then also some of the things that you want to continue to polish up as you work your way through the non-conference slate?
I mean, I think we proved on a national scale and a conference scale that we gave up very few chances and we generated lots of scoring opportunities, but we just didn't make the play on both sides of the ball, right? And one of our soccer non-negotiables is to dominate both boxes. And we've got to stop the self-inflicted wounds. We've got to take chances when they come. And we've got to make sure that, you know, if we're dominating a game and the opponent gets one chance, like a lot of times last year, that they scored. And it was all of a sudden we were down in the game. We've got to learn how to win and we've got to capitalize on momentum. So I think that's what we're looking at doing going into this season. I think we're stronger on both sides of the ball than we were last year. I think we've got a lot of defensive new pieces that have come in and made a statement straight away. And I think we've got a lot of different ways that we can create and score on the offensive side of the ball. So I think we're in a much better spot moving forward as we're looking to achieve those outcome goals.
Coach, I want to talk to you a little bit about the experience you guys have on your team. I mean, you have 6 juniors, 9 seniors, 2 fifth-year players. That's 17 upperclassmen. Talk to me about what they've been to this program and the mentorship that they're able to have towards some of the younger girls and the transfers into the program.
Yeah, I mean, we challenge everybody to leave the jersey in a better place than they found it, you know, and this experienced group, you know, they're people that understand what it means to play for Auburn and what the Auburn family expects. And so the expectations that Auburn in general, they're helping lay that groundwork. But also they've been here, a lot of them, since day one, since we started the new program. And so, you know, they've been great for us to talk to the new players, particularly the younger ones, and kind of talk them about the expectations.
You mentioned the word expectation as something that's been talked a lot about on the Auburn football side of things, is Coach Golish using that word identity, trying to build that foundation, try and find that identity. Obviously, you've been able to implement that into year one, but when the people that are coming their way to the Auburn Soccer Complex for maybe the first time in quite some time or the first year with you as the head coach, if there is a single term, a single word, or a single sentence using that identity term for this Auburn soccer team, what would you want it to be?
Work ethic. Hard work. It's in the Auburn creed. I believe in work, hard work, right? And that's a non-negotiable. It doesn't matter how talented you are. If you're not going to work hard, you're going to get out-competed. So for us, that's the one thing that is definitely in our control. Every single player that steps on the field in an Auburn jersey has the choice to do that. And for us, it's a non-negotiable.
We're talking with head coach of Auburn soccer, Coach James Armstrong. And Coach, you're 5-1-1 in home openers as a head coach. Outside of just the check in the win column, how important is it to establish momentum early in these home opener games that you've been able to play?
It's impossible as a coaching staff to be able to have everything set in place with the time frames that we have, even with the acclimation period. So for us, we're focusing on the things that we have worked on in training and the execution of those things, recognizing that mistakes are going to happen, but how quickly can we learn from that? How quickly can we control the momentum in the games? I think those are the most important things. And then obviously we go back to what I just said, the energy, the passion, the work ethic that that team brings onto the field, controlling the emotion of it, right? Making sure that we're going to have some nerves, but it can't overwhelm us. And we've got to just go out there and enjoy, you know, being together and representing Auburn in the best possible way.
Tigers and Tigers tomorrow night, 6 p.m. over at the Auburn Soccer Complex. And, Coach, maybe a bit of a backwards question for you, but what is it that you hope that Clemson does really well that you have to learn about your team, whether that's a way of handling adversity, obviously looking beyond just the scoreboard, but what is something that you hope that the Road Tigers do really well that's going to test your team really early on?
I mean, there's no doubt it's going to be a test on both sides of the ball. You know, they're returning everybody pretty much. And coach has been there a long time and being able to establish his identity in possession. They're going to ask questions with their movement and their technical quality on the ball. And they've got individuals that obviously you have to take a great deal of attention to. But for us, we've talked about being fearless. You know, and when we have the ball, we want to make sure that we stretch them around and they're going to press with a lot of numbers. So we're going to have to be sharp in our possession and recognize moments to break pressure. And then when we do, can we transition quickly with quality?
Coach, I want to ask about fifth year and team captain Dylan Driver. It's her final season of eligibility in 2026, has played over 1,100 minutes over 18 games last season. Just talk to me about her impact and her leadership that she brings to the squad.
I mean, she leads by example. She's one of four captains, and she is going into her fifth year. She's been here at Auburn since day one, and she really, really loves this place. You know, she is an Auburn woman. So for us last year, she led the line. I think she was first in terms of touches in the opponent's penalty box area entries in SEC play. Got seven assists, but in her own admission, probably wished she could have had a few of those chances back to put away in the back of the net. So I think for us this year and for Dylan, she's going to focus on, you know, improving that production, particularly in terms of goals. You know, and she's somebody that can take that responsibility and is excited about it. So she's been great for this program, and we're really glad that we've got one more season with her.
And the two ladies here that are making their way into the studio, we'll be able to talk with them here in just a few moments. You have Kennedy Husbands as well as Gracie Brown, one that you knew prior to Auburn and one that you've now gotten to know here at Auburn. What do those two ladies mean to you and your program working their way to 2026?
Well, Gracie Brown was one of the first people I met when I first took the job. And, you know, she comes from a coaching family. And so she's very, very knowledgeable about the game. Somebody else that's very, very passionate about everything she does. She's a captain, leads by example. And, you know, I think she's a success story because I hope she doesn't mind me saying this. When I first got here, she wasn't a starter. She wasn't playing significant minutes. She redshirted her freshman year. And so what she was able to do when she came on against Utah Valley, right? Utah Valley, scored a great goal and was in the starting lineup from then and never looked back. And that's because of the hard work that she puts in each and every single day. And she's a warrior. You know, she'll run around that field. You talk about work ethic. She's going to make sure that she never gets out-competed, I can promise you that. And then Kennedy, you know, I had the privilege of coaching her at my old school in her freshman year, and she wants to win. She knows how to win. She won a championship there, and she's brought that experience here. She set the new standard, smashed it in terms of the fitness standard. The first time that she got to run it, set her own personal best, and I think she beat it by 12 seconds or something like that, which is significant and really set the tone, you know. And she can dominate on both sides of the ball. She can play lots of different positions. She played three different ones on Saturday alone. So her versatility is something that's a great great addition for us. But, you know, her and Eva Patterson have both come from programs that have won championships before, and that's important as we talk about learning how to win, you know, bringing that experience in. So these two ladies represent Auburn in the best possible way, and I'm just really proud that we get to coach them this season.
Coach James Armstrong here with us in the studio on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Final question, Coach, before we let you get out of here. We've mentioned tomorrow night quite a bit. Auburn and Clemson, a 6 o'clock start over at the Auburn Soccer Complex. If you had a final pitch for anybody listening that maybe doesn't have any plans tomorrow night, or maybe is very excited for Auburn soccer but didn't know that tomorrow night's the opener, what do they need to know? What are they going to learn about this team and your pitch on why they should be there watching you on the pitch?
So I'll keep this as short as I possibly can, but this is really important to everybody involved with the Auburn soccer program, that we boost our home field advantage. You know, we had some good crowds last year, but we want to build on that momentum, right? We've had the road to the World Cup, you know, with Argentina here. Mm-hmm. You've had the World Cup. You know, we opened the Auburn athletics calendar. A lot of people will have been itching to get back and see Auburn on the field, and we get the opportunity to do that. So we've tried to do a few changes. One, all of our games now kick off in the evenings, right? No dreaded 1 o'clock games in the sun. the stands there are shaded by 6 o'clock. I double-checked that yesterday, so you can at least be in the shade. We've cut down one of the fences to hopefully get a rowdy section behind. It's free admission for everybody. You can bring personal coolers in with cans of whatever you wish to bring in. That's your own choice. But the home field advantage in the SEC or just NCAA women's soccer is very, very, very important. And if you have it, it can make a massive difference. And our plea to the Auburn family is give us a chance. It's up to us to make sure that you want to come back by the product that we put on the field. But if we can get people out tomorrow and cheer the correct Tigers on, that would mean the world to us.
Very nicely said. Coach James Armstrong here with us in the studio. Greatly appreciate your time again. Thank you for taking some time to join us a couple of months ago as well as before the season gets started. I'm sure it won't be the last time, but looking forward to keeping up with your team and hearing from you again real soon.
Thank you, gentlemen, and War Eagle.
You've heard from the head coach. You heard how the roster was built. You heard what Auburn has learned over the last year. Now let's make our way into the locker room. We'll take a quick break, and when we come back, Kennedy Husbands and Gracie Brown join us to give us their perspective on the new-look Auburn team. We're back right after this here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
You're on the line, and we're just 30 minutes in. Now back to the studio with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7.
We are back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us as we continue giving all of the inside knowledge of all things Auburn soccer ahead of their season opener against 25th-ranked Clemson at 6 p.m. over at the Auburn Soccer Complex tomorrow night. We just heard from head coach James Armstrong. Now let's make our way inside the locker room, get the players' perspective on what Auburn is building in 2026. Two very different storylines that we're going to hear from here this afternoon. Kennedy Husbands arrives on the plains after a couple of years spent in the SEC. Gracie Brown, the returner for the Auburn Tigers. And Kennedy, we'll start with you. You're one of the new faces around here just in terms of the Auburn program, maybe not as much so to Coach Armstrong, but you now have the few first months here at Auburn kind of knocked out. What have you learned about the Auburn, not only the Auburn soccer program, but just Auburn in general on why they call it the loveliest village on the plains?
Well, for sure, the loveliest village on the plains, because it has so much more to do than where I came from past. It just, the community here, how clean it is, just they keep such great care of this place. And I just love the campus, how spread out it is, and just enjoying just the beautiful weather here. And then, like, the soccer program, it's just the facilities here are incredible. They make it so that we can have every resource that we need in order to be successful here. So being able to just come here, have everything I need, and be able to just perform to my best of my ability is just incredible, and I enjoy this place a lot.
And for Gracie, you've now been here for a couple of years now. How different does it feel entering this season as one of the leaders, one of the veterans, rather than what it looked like a couple of years ago when you were looking up at all of the upperclassmen?
It's different, but I definitely think I've loved Auburn the same throughout all of my years. The school hasn't changed, but everything around me in soccer has, which is interesting because, like, I came here with my sister being on the team, so I got to watch her perform and I got to watch all of her friends perform and just, like, learn from them. And so now going into this season, I'm really trying to take on a different role and be that role model that they were once to me.
Kennedy, talking about your transfer portal experience, what about your relationship with Coach Armstrong? How'd you know that Auburn is the right fit, or in what kind of was that process like?
And just remember, he is still in the room when you have to give
the answer. Yeah, the family culture for sure. He really cares about us deeply, not just on the soccer level, but personal level. And I really enjoyed that my freshman year. And then last year wasn't as much of the family environment. And I love my family at home. So being able to have a family here while I am away from home is very, very needed. Even when I'm in the, like, trenches or valleys, and just knowing that I can go talk to them about something if it's soccer related or if it's just personal. So,
and Gracie, I want to ask you about your recruiting process, how you were able to come to Auburn and just kind of what that side of it looked like for you.
It's interesting because I would say the same thing. Like, no matter what, I feel like Auburn has always been a very family-oriented place. When I was being recruited, that was the first thing I looked for, was just the community aspect of it. I felt like everybody really cared for each other. And so that's why I think this transition was seamless, because it upholds the same, like, values.
Kennedy Husbands and Gracie Brown here with us in the studio again, previewing tomorrow night's matchup against top 25 Clemson over at the Auburn Soccer Complex. And Gracie, half of this roster, as we mentioned with Coach Armstrong, is brand new. You taking on that new leadership perspective, what's been the most fun part for you, being able to learn all of the new names, all of the faces, all of the different personalities that make this team go for the Auburn Tigers in 2026?
I think it's exactly what you said, just everybody being so different, but everyone shares the same passion for the game and just for Auburn itself. I think it's just beautiful seeing everybody come together, and I'm so excited for Wednesday because I know it's going to be great.
Kennedy, you sit there, and under your belt, there's a couple of some trophies, a couple of awards in there as well, all freshman team for the SEC, playing for Coach Armstrong, and again, now a couple more years of college soccer under your belt. Where do you think you've grown the most as a player that you're really looking forward to seeing in your own personal game here in just a couple of days?
For sure, my ability to adapt to whatever I'm faced with. Our adversity, my freshman year, we won the SEC, and that was a really good experience. But then, like, last year, we didn't do as well. So this year, just taking every experience I've had, winning / losing, and just making it the best situation and trying to be a person that can make a play in the game and be able to find a way to be impactful on the team, whether I'm scoring, whether I'm assisting, whether I'm just playing really good defense. So just being able to take everything I've learned from 2 years at my other school and bring it here so I can be an impactful player on the field.
And Gracie, I guess the same question to you. Again, a bit of a different story, working your way into that leadership perspective both on and off the field. Coach Armstrong in the previous segment talked about how when you first started, you were not the starter coming off the bench, but played a really good, was it Utah Valley, I believe, the school. Talk to us about that moment, how that kind of maybe changed your perspective on not only confidence, but just also success on the field and what you're planning on bringing to the team in 2026.
Yeah, I mean, I basically live by talent, or hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard.
Yeah.
So I think I've always just had that in the back of my mind, and I knew that coming into freshman year, maybe I had, what, like 14 seniors above me, so I knew that year would be a specific year for me to just learn and grow by observing. And then that next year when Coach Armstrong came in, it was more of a, okay, this is my moment, let me break out and let me be myself and do what I need to do to get on the field.
Kennedy, you were on the SEC Community Service Team last year. Talk to me about how that has impacted your time in college and what you plan on continuing that stewardship in Auburn.
Yes, for sure. Just meeting new people. I was able to be on FCA leadership at my other school, and I got to meet so many people, but I also had people pouring into me that made me just learn a lot more in college, especially being on your own. Like, you have a lot to learn, and just being able to have people that have your back and would support you through soccer, through just outside of soccer. So just being able to continue to meet new people, because that's the only way you can build connections. And my parents always say communication is essential for success. So being able to communicate to people and just be able to interact and learn more about them while also them pouring into you. So
And Gracie, you started out your last season. You're in the rotation, but then moving up to start the final 12 match of the season. You said it just a few minutes ago. Hard work beats talent when talent fails to work hard. Talk to me about kind of what that was like, being able to hear that you've been called up to the starting group.
It was definitely very exciting. I did feel pressure, but it was a good pressure that I want to have. And I think the group that I had around me, like Hayden Coulson in specific, like she was just like somebody that I could always rely on. And having her right next to me was just, it was perfect because if I was struggling, like she knew exactly what to say to pick me up. So yeah, it was really exciting. And yeah.
Continuing to dive into all things Auburn soccer, previewing their match with Clemson tomorrow night, 6 p.m. in the Auburn Soccer Complex. A question for both of you ladies, because it's a very different answer than even just what the coach sees, right? But if there's a player that both of y'all have that maybe doesn't get highlighted already, but you're expecting to make a very big impact, whether that's on the field, whether that's off the field, whether that's with the leadership, with the personality, is there somebody that comes to mind that the Auburn family may not know, or even Coach James Armstrong may not know quite yet, that he's going to continue to learn about this team?
I can start. Yeah, I'm going to give a shout out to Ava Caldwell. She's my roommate and my best friend, but also she's had an incredible preseason. She scored 2 goals in the Georgia Southern game, and she's been doing amazing, and she's going to make a big impact this season, so I'm excited to watch her.
And I would say Grace Ivy. She was playing more attacking mid last year, and then this year she's playing more of a defensive role, and she's really like stepped up in that position and being able to just distribute the ball back and forth on the field and also getting forward. She's able to play attacking mid too. So just having like the offensive minded but on the defensive side is very important, and I'm excited to see what she does this season.
We're talking with Gracie Brown and Kennedy Husbands of the Auburn soccer team. And another question, if you were someone, a fan, was watching Auburn soccer and watched both of y'all play, what was the one skill that you would want them to watch out for that you try and highlight your game around?
I would say my work ethic.
I would say being able to just continue to work hard whenever things are not going my way. Being able to find something else in my game that isn't like working, and then using another thing so that I can make other people successful. So if I'm not being successful in the game and being marked or whatever, making sure that other people are being able to be an asset to the team.
When you dive into what this season is going to look like, looking beyond whatever the scoreboard may look like tomorrow evening, if there is something that takes place within the game within the game, that's going to boost not only the confidence for this team, but the way that they go about and seeing that proof of concept, that whether they're the freshmen or whether they're the transfers, now being able to see that being put into action, if there's something that comes to mind, anything specific on kind of the game within the game of what this team hopes to accomplish tomorrow night against Clemson?
I'll say our unity as a team and just trusting each other. We have to buy into this game. We have to want to win. We can't have our coaches want to win for us, but we all have to be on the same page, wanting the same outcome and wanting to just continue to grow together and learn through like hard situations and adversity, and just being able to continue that through the full season, because it's going to be a long season, but we can do it.
Yeah, I mean, she said it all pretty much. I would just add like the passion aspect, that everybody shares the same goal and the same passion that maybe we haven't seen in the past. And yeah.
So you, Gracie, have played here at the Auburn Soccer Complex. Kennedy, I believe this Wednesday will be your first game in that stadium. Talk to me about the environment that you guys are trying to create there this fall.
I think we want people to feel comfortable just like giving their all out there, like being as rowdy as they want. We want people to bring like people who haven't been to a game before. Like, we want new fans, we want anybody that's interested, because we want to build like a big community.
I would for sure say the same thing, but also just giving back to the younger people and just showing that we are older than them and we've been in their shoes, and just being able to show them that they can play college soccer if they want to, and just continue to persevere and continue to grow in each and every area of their life.
You mentioned the younger generation that plays not only college soccer, but again, youth soccer as well. We got to talk about this with Coach James Armstrong right before the road to 26, right before the World Cup. What is something like that from y'all's perspectives, from the current player perspective? What does that mean for the younger generation that got to watch so much soccer? Because speaking on it firsthand, I don't want to say that I'm not a soccer fan, but it wasn't necessarily the priority familiarity of watching the World Cup prior to, but the Road to 26 definitely helped. It brought a whole bunch of the culture respect for what soccer is or what football is for a lot of people outside the United States, to give a real respect about the unity, about the culture, about the passion that comes with soccer. What is it that you hope that people were able to watch to bring their passion to their personal game when it comes to being on the pitch? Probably the impossible question to have to to answer right there.
I would say the same thing, and just seeing that like soccer is growing so much in the United States is incredible to see. It's not just overseas, which it was a lot of before the World Cup, but it just shows like we have the facilities, we have the resources to be able to host those games, and then just knowing that like little kids could play soccer here and grow and develop, and then we have really good professional leagues like building here. So just being able to see that the U.S. can be a really dominant football community and continuing to grow.
We're here with Gracie Brown and Kennedy Husbands of the Auburn soccer team, and looking to tomorrow with the Clemson Tigers coming for the season opener. I know it's hard to ask what do you expect when a team has not played a game yet, but what do you expect Clemson to be able to show out on the pitch tomorrow, and how are you guys planning on taking advantage and being able to win that game?
I see them being very possession-based, and that's pretty much what the ACC is. So being able to use our strengths, which is athleticism, but then also being able to be possession-based, because we're a team in the SEC that wants to be possession-based. And so,
sorry to cut you off. I'm so sorry. But for the possession-based side of things, for those that may not know, is that just being very, very opportunistic with your times, being very, again, just in control of the ball, really taking advantage of the opportunities, but not necessarily trying to just load up on the shot total? Is that what more of the possession-based looks
like? Yes, it's kind
of
like being able to possess the ball but having a purpose going forward.
Sure.
So you're not just passing a direct long ball, unless it's on, but you're keeping the ball, making them run, and finding the gaps to like penetrate through them. So just being able to do that is going to be very important, and just using all of our strengths that we have. Our unity this year is, which is one of our superpowers on this team. So being able to stay together and just play for each other is going to be massive.
Yeah, I'd say obviously they have a lot of very talented people on their team, and I think they're going to be very technical, which we haven't got to really experience yet. So I think it'll be a good test, like Kennedy said, with our unity.
Kennedy, Grace, greatly appreciate y'all for taking the time to join us and give the current player perspective, because, again, so many times, although it is one unit, you guys see things a little bit different than the coach does, and I think that's the beauty of the sport, regardless of whatever sport you play, being able to have so many different voices, so many different opinions. And so greatly appreciate y'all for taking the time. Is there a final pitch that y'all have for why the fans, why the students need to make their way to the Auburn Soccer Complex, maybe even specifically behind the opponent's goal tomorrow night?
Yes, just bring the energy. We really need it. And having energy from the fans shows that they want to come watch soccer here at Auburn. So just having all of them show up and just rally behind us is going to be massive.
Yeah, we want to win for you guys and for Auburn as a community. So the more you guys get out there to support us, the more we can give back to you.
Awesome. Well, we greatly appreciate it. Kennedy Husbands, Gracie Brown, and earlier again, you heard from Coach James Armstrong, as well as we continue to count you down to the season opener against Clemson. Tigers and Tigers, 14 returners, 14 newcomers, a roster with plenty of experience, plenty of new faces, and now it's finally time to see what the group can become. Again, Auburn kicks off their season opener with 25th-ranked Clemson at the Auburn Soccer Complex. Kickoff is set for 6 o'clock Central. Admission is completely free, and if you can't make it out, SEC Network Plus is where you need to go. But we hope that everybody makes their way out to the Auburn Soccer Complex tomorrow night, because the offseason is over. Auburn Soccer is officially back. We greatly appreciate everybody for joining us here this afternoon. We'll take a break. We'll come back, and we'll wrap up hour number one right after this.
You are on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up hour number one.
Very quickly.
Go from music bed to music bed here in hour number one on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Appreciate Coach Armstrong again, Gracie Brown, and Kennedy Husbands as well for taking some time to join us here in studio. Again, appreciate Riley Hubbard as well for the Auburn SID for making this happen for us again. very appreciative to be able to highlight all of the Auburn sports. And again, one of the very first ones here in the calendar season. And so we're
first.
Very excited to be out there tomorrow evening. Go out there. Also, shout out to our good friend Caleb Robertson, Weagle 91.1 FM. If you can't make it out there, always tune in. We got a special love for Weagle here on ESPN 106.7. Hour number one in the books. Hour number two coming up. We got more football talk. We got a conversation about a scoreboard as well. All of that coming up in hour number two.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be a part of the show, call 334-321-1390 or text in at 334-784-1685. The boys are bringing you all the action on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. When it comes to the Tigers, the SEC, and the hottest topics in sports, this is where you want to be.
Jacob Hillman, scoreboard conversations in college football rule changes. Everybody's favorites here in hour number two.
Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, straight from the ESPN 106.7 studio, here's Christian Griffin and Trip Upton.
Hour number one in the books. We welcome you into hour number two here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Having a good time in the studio. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. A really fun hour number one here on this Tuesday, July 11th. A sunny day in the Auburn area. And so how nice that we don't have to sit and worry about the phone lines, which are open now for the first 30 minutes. Or so here in hour number two. We'll get to that here in just a moment. But again, appreciate everybody for spending some time here with us on ESPN 106.7. In hour number one, we got to talk a lot with of Auburn soccer news with Coach James Armstrong, as well as Gracie Brown and Kennedy Husbands. Again, had them in the studio, and again, those are always really, really fun interviews. You get to see a little bit more of the personality than you do just over the phones, and so really, really cool to be able to have that to get Auburn and Clemson tomorrow night over at the Auburn Soccer Complex. 6 o'clock, free admission, and free personal coolers that you can bring. So do with that what you will. If you want to have a really good time cheering on, as Coach Armstrong said, the Wright Tigers here tomorrow evening. Appreciate the three of them for taking some time to join us. We started hour number one. Didn't really expect it, but we were trying to think of something to fill the first 15 minutes or so. And I remember seeing an article late last night about the Little League World Series. What's the official word?
The Little League World Series championship?
No, what they did.
The injunction?
Yes, but the restraining order. That was the word.
The TRO.
Yes, that's what I was looking for. Basically, a team in Tulsa had an illegal player on their team. I don't know if that's from age. I don't know what the exact rules are, but basically did not meet the qualifications of the Little League World Series. And so when the Little League World Series found out about it, they basically disqualified this team from them, disqualified them from the World Series. And college sports are just such great role models of youth athletics, to where the parents and the coaches said, you know what, let's go to a local court judge in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and get a temporary restraining order to where the Little League World Series can't say anything, and we're going to continue playing because that's what we want to do. And so that's what they did. And right now there's as you mentioned, a TRO. And so whoever plays them, just please win. Gosh, that would be even
please.
Better.
Please. Wait, West Texas, save us.
Yes, West Texas, please beat the
I
team.
Mean, not the first time that you're rooting for West Texas in a TRO court situation, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. I bet that is the first time that we we cheer for West Texas. But all of that was in hour number one. If you missed any of it, you can always go back and check it out at our podcast center. It's just our show. We turn it into a podcast every single afternoon as soon as we walk out of the ESPN 106.7 studio. But you can always go check it out at our podcast center over at ESPNAU.com.
And in hour number two, we sit down with Jacob Hillman, the man, the myth, the legend, the normal Monday staple, but because of legitimate acts of God in nature, could not join. And so he will be with us today here on the line. And we'll also look at the scoreboard conversation Christian mentioned earlier and why Auburn is not number one in something anymore. We'll also look at some rule changes in college football and see what's going to be different on the gridiron when it comes to those Zebras here this fall. But if you want to be a part of the conversation, phone lines are open for the first 30 minutes of the hour, about 20 or so minutes. Potentially, we might get Jacob Hillman early over at 334-321-1390. The text box, the Sin Medicine text box, is always open at 334-784-1685. The text box brought to you by Sin Medicine. At Sin Medicine, you get VIP medical care with direct access to your personal physician. With 20 years of emergency room experience, Dr. Eric Sen is bringing personalized, access-driven healthcare to the Plains. Become a member today by visiting senmedicine.com, S-E-N-N medicine.com. It's you know, right now on the line is the place to be, but on October or August 22nd and 23rd, Neville Arena is the place to be for the inaugural Card and Memorabilia Show presented by On to Victory. Head over to ontovictory.com/card show, all one word, to find out more about the two-day spectacular. With over 150 vendor tables with sports cards, memorabilia, collectibles, and Pokemon cards at Neville Arena, it'll be playing host to all that. Plus, autographs from celebrities such as Chris Davis, Tim Hudson, Dale Murphy, Andrew Jones, and Dominique Wilkins. Auburn's going to have their own celebrities with autographs and a chance to meet various players and teams that will compete for the Tigers this season. On to Victory is also offering VIP packaging and pricing to further enhance the experience. If you're a card collector, an autograph collector, or just a fan of Auburn sports, August 22nd and 23rd, Neville Arena is the place for you to be. There's going to be a kid zone with fun activities as well as an appearance by everyone's favorite Tiger, Aubie. For more information, pricing, and a schedule of events, and to inquire about your VIP packaging, visit ontovictory.com/card show, all one word, and start planning your weekend with On to Victory. Legendary athletes, along with the student Auburn student athletes of today. That's ontovictory.com/card show.
I also apologize. I need to hold up my end of the bargain as you take a very big and deep breath. Whenever we talk about, like, everyone's favorite Tiger is going to be there, Aubie, I feel like I need to Will Ferrell elf it when it comes to, like, Santa's coming to town and just
Santa.
Yeah,
yes.
I feel like that's, I need to do that for Aubie. And so
we need to get him on the show sometime soon.
I think we can make something like that happen.
Yeah, we'll talk.
Will Ferrell.
Yeah, but both of those would be fantastic. But I think, you know, I can understand it. He's a busy cat, and so we would love to just put it out there if he'd ever want to come on the show. We'd be more than willing to sit down and have an in-depth conversation with him. I think he's got a lot to say.
100%. I would definitely agree. I'd love to talk to a multi-time national champion. You mentioned the Neville Arena is the place to be in here in just a couple of days, a couple of months as well. Again, this was announced this morning. For anybody that has not seen it, comedian Nate Bargatze announces a show at Neville Arena Friday, October 16th. He is hailed as the nicest man in stand-up comedy, and CBS Mornings quoted him to be one of the funniest people, again, basically in the world. He's the number one earning comedian in the world right now, and his touring company is in the likes of Coldplay, Madonna, and U2 right now. And so the fact that he has decided to make a what's the name of the Big Dumb Eyes is his world tour, but he's making it Big Dumb Eyes Goes to College because in his specials he talks about how he did not. And so he's now making his way to a bunch of college towns. And for those that have not heard that name, this is, I mean, I guess no free pub or whatever, but this is as cool as it gets. I am a big fan. And we'll talk with this about with Jacob Hillman a little bit more. But if you want somebody that's a comedian that you can actually take your kids to go and watch, this is him. This is clean, very funny. This is really, really cool. This means a lot for, again, just what the world of comedy is. And so, again, highly recommend everybody to go check that out. You can look at AuburnTigers.com. You see that right now Type in Auburn, Neville Arena, Nate Bargatze, whatever the case may be. I know that tickets go on sale. Pre-sale opportunities beginning Wednesday, August 12th, ahead of the general public sale on Friday. And Auburn sees it ticket holders and the Tigers Unlimited Foundation members will be able to receive access to exclusive pre-sales beginning on Thursday, August 13th at 10 a.m. Any general tickets will go back to the general public on Friday. And so, again, really, really excited for that opportunity. It is unfortunately on Friday, though. So
hey, you know what?
So Caleb, if you're listening, you're calling Lee Scott games because I'm going to watch Nate Bargatze inside Neville Arena. So we'll just ask him to pause it for a little bit. We'll get done. And
Hear me out. Hear me out. We will take what we've learned from all of athletics. Let's just get a TRO from a local judge and get the game moved up a day so that you can call Lee Scott, and then we can go, and maybe we'll do something with Auburn and Dothan as well, and be able to go watch the show on Friday.
Exactly.
That's the American way, Christian.
That's what college athletics have taught us. But no, for anybody, again, that has not watched all of his other work, I mean, whether you go to any media platform, you can go watch him. He's hilarious and, again, family, clean. He prides himself on clean, relatable comedy, and I think he does a fantastic job of that right there. And so wanted to shout that out for those that had not seen it quite yet. Also want to shout out, we've had a little conversation on this over the last handful of months, but college football changes. Everybody's favorite thing to discuss here this afternoon, but there have been some changes, including the tweaks to targeting as well as offensive pass interference rules that have now been confirmed to work their way into the college game in 2026. And I think that the first one is one that I definitely agree with. Targeting penalties assessed in the second half of a game, at least the first one, will no longer require the offending player to sit out of the first half of the team's next game.
Cool.
I have no issue with that whatsoever. They made it, was it last year or 2 years ago, to where if you get kicked out from targeting, you no longer have to go to the locker room. You can still stay on the sideline.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good rule as well. But again, if you have a targeting penalty in the third quarter, you no longer run that risk of, well, now he has to miss the first half of the next game, at least on the first offense. The other one is offensive pass interference will become a 10-yard penalty, and the little-used fair catch kick will be introduced to college football as well. And so a player disqualified again for the first time in any season may participate in the following game. The trial rule, which this is essentially what it's being run as, because college football is just the big guinea pig for what really works, but it will apply regardless of the half that the targeting penalty is called. A player who draws his second targeting penalty of the season will be required to miss the first half of the next game. So that is the targeting penalty that we know of right now, I guess, just in terms of if that happens in the second half. And a player who draws the third targeting of his season must sit out the full following game. I don't mind that.
So what I'm saying is, Smoke Monday, you're still on the hook. Unfortunately.
Smoke, you are, even if you have eligibility, apologies.
Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I like that. Because how many times do you see the targeting, too, where it really is just, like, there's no ill will, there's no intent of everything. It's literally just a college football play,
or a
football play in general.
Or it's a play where the ball carrier ducks, and to where instead of having a safe tackle, he ducks, and it's targeting, and it's
there's no offensive targeting.
No. It actually might be. I'm not really
sure. But not like a running back that just lowers the crown of his head. That's perfectly fine, but the defender can't do it.
Correct.
So you see that so many times. And so, again, I don't have an issue with this. I think the best thing about they've arguably ever done is being able to review targeting penalties. I still think there's a whole lot of gray area when it comes to that. But at least there is this sort of, as they used it, as the trial rule for targeting. A conference can choose to initiate an appeals process after a player's second targeting penalty. So almost like the NBA with like technical fouls or whatever the case may be. The appeal will be sent to the NCAA National Coordinator of Football Officials for a video review, commonly located in Birmingham. No, I'm just kidding. If the appeal is successful, the player would not be allowed to sit out the first half, or would not be forced to sit out the first half of the following game. Also, the penalty for offensive pass interference is being adjusted from 15 yards to 10 yards. The rule The rules reserve a 15-yard penalty. They want that to primarily be for personal fouls and unsportsmanlike conduct.
Which they added new ones as well. Just kind of an automatic unsportsmanlike conduct penalty will be called if a player does any of these five things. Any acts simulating or the brandishing of a weapon, so you can't like pretend to have a gun like Dylan Stewart did and just walk someone down. The slashing of the throat or a nose wipe signal, so you can't do like the nose wipe first down anymore. Removing the helmet after the ball is dead, with exceptions for timeouts and equipment adjustments, fine with that. Dead ball contact fouls such as pushing, shoving, striking, etc. that clearly occur after the ball is dead and are not part of the game action, or using forcible contact to push or pull an opponent off the pile after the ball is dead.
There you go.
That's interesting. Also, two replay challenges. Head coaches will have two replay challenges per game. If a coach wins one of the two, they get a third one.
I mean, that's, yeah, understandable. Defensive pass interferences, though, will still remain a spot foul with the maximum of a 15-yard penalty. So offensive pass interference, 10 yards. DPIs are spot fouls unless they are beyond 15 yards, unlike the NFL where it's a spot foul regardless. It's a maximum of a 15-yard penalty. That obviously results in an automatic first down as well. And in a change to align Division I rules with those in the NFL and high school, a team could choose to attempt a fair catch kick after a completed or awarded fair catch. The kick would be a place kick with a holder or a drop kick from where the returner caught the ball. The defense would be at least 10 yards back from the spot of the ball. If the ensuing kick goes through the uprights, it would be worth 3 points. This is a very rarely used play. They say the last time this happened was in 2024 when the Los Angeles Chargers' Cameron Dicker converted one against the Denver Broncos from 57 yards out. And so you see this more at the end of halves. Usually, yeah. Where we call
a very niche situation.
Yeah, you call a fair catch at your own 35-yard line after the punter boots it from his own end zone. You could call a fair catch, and if you only want to run one play, I guess you could do that whenever. It would just be
really.
I mean, it doesn't have to be at the end of a half. If any time the punter booted it out of the end zone or from his end zone, and you caught it at the 20-yard line, If you were down 10 points, rather than trying to get the touchdown now, go ahead and try and secure the three with 2 minutes left. You could try that.
Sure.
I mean, I'd be very intrigued to see if that would ever happen, but another, I guess bring that back in.
Yeah, another weird rule that I'm looking at here. Up to two sponsor patches are now allowed on the jersey with conference approval. A third patch is allowed in conference, championship, or postseason games. Logos must not exceed 4 square inches. One commercial logo not to exceed 4 square inches is permitted on the helmet. So
you're about to start seeing a logo on one side and yellow wood on the other, baby.
Mm-hmm. Just very interesting as we continue with the commercialization of college athletics.
It's what the good Lord made it to be. We'll take our first break. We'll come back and talk more things outside of the playing field of college football and how Auburn has led a specific category for quite some time. But no longer, says the Big Ten. Oh, the Fighting Illini. They do it to the Tigers. We'll talk about that before Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us in hour number two. Joins us, but we'll come back right after this and talk about the scoreboards in college football.
You're on the line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton. Be a part of the show by calling 334-321-1390 or text us at 334-784-1685.
All right, we're back here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. Appreciate everybody for being here with us on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. And did get a text from Jeff in Enterprise and said he's been a high school official for 26 years and he's still waiting on that award fair catch kick. So no such luck yet. And so,
hey, maybe we can talk to Coach Etheridge and see if we can get one down and when the Wildcats travel to take, or I guess the Wildcats host the Tigers this year. I was thinking of last year, but maybe we can make something where we can get the ear of Coach Blackman down at Enterprise.
Yeah,
so
we'll see what we can work on. And so we have a lot of power when it comes to rulings in college football. But,
yes.
Do want to stick on the college football side of things for just a couple of minutes. Again, we're going to get Jacob Hillman a little bit early this afternoon because a whole lot to dive into, a whole lot to talk about, and appreciate him for taking the time to usually in our Monday guest, but joining us here this afternoon with the phone lines back open. And while we do have just a minute or two, Auburn has been number one in a lot of, or I guess in one big category over
losses
the last
in one score games
handful of years, and it's not losses in one score games. Although I believe it's 12 of the last 13, so that hurts in itself. But the folks inside Jordan-Hare Stadium have been able to watch those one score losses on some pretty big TVs. But it's not the biggest anymore. The nope. Fighting Illini of Illinois partnered with Daktronics of Brookings, South Dakota, to design, manufacture, and install the largest main video display in college football. For those wondering, Auburn's is 10,690 square feet. Illinois' is 17,300. And for those that have not seen any images, please do yourself a favor and go look at this. It's rounded. It goes almost around their entire end zone.
Wow.
It's absolutely ginormous.
You know what? I'm going to be mature. I am not going to make a joke about Brett Bielema and how he needs to fit on the said Jumbotron. But I think that this is a cool – I mean, it's cool, I mean, it's cool for college football. Would you like to know the – can you guess the other, I guess, 3 through 5?
I could, considering, I mean, unless the Big Ten Network is lying to me, it'd be Purdue, Oregon, and Michigan.
Correct. Yeah. Well, that doesn't make much sense for me to say guess, but I didn't know you had it pulled up on your phone. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah? You want me to tell you 6 through 10?
I actually don't know 6 through 10. Can you actually would be
6 through 10 is Wisconsin, Utah, Oklahoma, Mississippi State, and Texas A&M.
Huh.
Texas A&M is at number 10 at 7,635. Illinois is 10,000 square feet bigger than that right there. It is 69 feet tall by 250 feet wide. Gosh. This display will allow for larger-than-life content, including live video, replays, graphics, animations, statistics, sponsorship messages. What? No way. 16 million pixels. It's the fifth largest display in professional football. It's roughly the same size as the main outfield display at Citi Field in New York.
I can't wait until there's some team decides to just go ahead and sphere it. Like puts the entire dome over it and just makes it a giant video board. That's coming soon.
It would take 1,621 60-inch TVs to cover the entire display.
That's
so
a
there
lot.
There you go. Do with that what you will. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network joins us when we come back, not to talk about college football scoreboards.
Halfway through hour number two, you're on the line with Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
All right, 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Used to saying that on Monday afternoons, but having him here on Tuesday afternoons as well because the phone lines are actually working here this afternoon. No weather, at least none that has cut the power lines, cut the phone lines off. And so excited to bring this man back on, Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, taking some time to join us here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. My man, I hope all is well as you continue to race your way towards the start of not only football season, but all of the other fall sports as well.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Christian. It's busy here on campus as classes are approaching. All the new athletic seasons are about to begin, and I'm glad we were able to make up for yesterday, and Mother Nature is not getting in the way of our conversation today.
Yeah, very, very much so. Mother Nature's also happy, or the football program's also happy that Mother Nature hasn't taken too big of a step as well, because fall camp is officially underway. You've been around this team for quite some time, but now getting them back with fall camp pads starting this week as well. You've seen this team up close. What has jumped out to you so far, whether that's something physically on the field, whether that's something in the coaching staff or anything else that has stood out to you so far through fall camp?
Yeah, it has to start with just going out to Grand National and kind of spending these first two weeks of camp isolated and away from the noise and everything else that can be a distraction. It's time to lock in. And I think that there's obviously been some discourse about this. And I think that this is a pretty normal thing for a team to do, especially the first year head coach, where he's really trying to establish the identity. That's the word that, again, we discussed after SEC media days and the culture as well of this team. So that the program itself is set going forward and is prepared for what is hopefully a successful season and is ready to deliver on everything that this team can achieve. And that's the thing, is doing this is going to allow these guys to really bond and grow together and learn how they interact together, whether it's that's as football players or as human beings. Mm-hmm. And that's what's so important about this trip, because I mean, that's what it is. Look, they're still just a town over in Opelika and Grand National, but that's still, they're not sleeping in their own bed. They are really getting to become one big family.
I mean, that goes to show you that football season is back, that Auburn football is back, when you have those that don't wear the orange and blue, don't reside in Auburn and Opelika, giving their thoughts, their opinions. That shows that college football season is back, baby. And we've talked all offseason about what Alex Golish and the staff really wants this program to look like, not only in the future, but especially in year one. Again, we continue to use that word identity that you mentioned here just a few moments ago. But now that you're starting to see that take place on the practice field, where are you starting to see his fingerprints as well as the other coaching staff on this team?
Yeah, it feels like we're starting to hear a lot about these wide receivers that are standing out and are really impressing those that are watching practice and even the coaches whenever they speak to the media, like a Chaz Nimrod and a Deshaun Spencer. Yeah. and Jeremiah Coger. That's not to mention a few other guys that we obviously know are capable, but the fact that they're standing out as much as everyone is breaking down, especially in the last few years, where we've talked about the wide receiver room at length because of how talented it was. And unfortunately it hasn't translated to those wins over the last few years. Mm-hmm. That we hoped it would, but that's where, that's where Auburn has to grow this season, is that offense has to find explosiveness in the passing game. And we know what Coach Golish and what Coach Gordon and Coach Burns can all deliver in their time at South Florida, their time at Tennessee. They did that at those schools, and having some of the best offenses and the most explosive offenses in the nation. That's where I think this team and this program has to turn into. It has to be ready for game one against Baylor. That Baylor defense is going to be really tough. And, Auburn's going to have to be ready on the offensive side of the ball. And that obviously all circles back to the quarterback and Byron Brown. But I just really am glad that this conversation continues. It's a brand new receiving core, but there's still this conversation around mm-hmm. them. And there's a lot of positive conversation around them as well.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here joining us on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. And everybody can have their gripes and their complaints about certain spots on the field, certain position groups. But when you think of Auburn football, you think about running the football, and you think about that running back position and that running back room. And this year, just about as every single year, it's as loaded, it's as talented as it has ever been. And wanted your thoughts on a guy that's been pretty close to home, that I would say a lot of the people in Auburn and Opelika know his name quite well, especially for those of Auburn High School. Maybe Opelika knows him as well, but especially Auburn High School knows his name pretty well. Omar Mabson, again, a guy that was supposed to be in high school last year, that got some carries last year, and now you're starting to see him really begin to polish his game, and the coaching staff has praised everything that he's doing. Coach Golish has listed it as a man trying to win a job, trying to split carries with Jeremiah Cobb and the rest of this room. Talk to us about what you've seen, what you've heard about Mr. Mabson over on the Plains.
Yeah, and it's kind of funny, just to piggyback off what we just discussed with the wide receivers and everything, this coaching staff is going to run the heck out of the football. They understand and really want to establish the run before setting up some of those explosive opportunities through the passing game and everything. So that's why it's important for this running back room to have as much depth as it has between Jeremiah Cobb, Omar Mabson, and Nekai Davenport, and Bryson Washington, some of those transfers, because they're going to be the ones that are going to have to tote the rock. And I think that, to your point, Mabson has been turning heads and really opening eyeballs this spring and as well as this fall, where last year, like you said, he was supposed to be an off in high school, and he was running the ball for an SEC team, scoring touchdowns and really having impact on major SEC games when he was 17 years old. Mm-hmm. And obviously he's grown quite a bit since he got on campus last year. And it's really shown that he is going to be a very capable running back. He's not just going to be that hometown feel good story. He is going to make an impact on the field. And that's why I'm so excited just to see this running back room all come together, and especially Omar get his shine as well this year, being he's competing for those second reps behind Jeremiah Cobb. Obviously Cobb, he's one of the best in the SEC, and coming back for his senior year, he's going to have those opportunities, but Bass is going to be right there with him alongside Washington and Davenport.
Jacob, we've talked so much about the recruiting side of things, and rightfully so for the 2027 class, but how wild is it now that you're already starting to see some names from the class of 2028 rattle off? And Auburn picked up a really cool, at least as of now, one of those really cool feel-good stories for Sam Sully, 2028 quarterback out of Gadsden City. And again, this is a guy that grew up an Auburn fan. His commitment video had pictures of him in Auburn gear, had videos of him rolling Tumors Corner. How cool is it to still see things like that? Because this is something, the word legacy doesn't carry as much value just in terms of the generation to generation now in college football because of the NIL, because of the transfer portal, things like that. But how cool is it to still see moments like this with college football?
Yeah, you're exactly right. Because again, it's the game has changed a lot in the last just 5 years, and even in the last 10 years and 20 years, and you can keep going back, and that's how life and sports work.
Sure.
You have to change, and you have to adjust and adapt. And again, like you said, fortunately, there are still these stories of, hey, look, this guy wanted to play for Auburn or whatever school it was from the day he picked up a football or basketball or baseball, whatever sport it is, and they're here, or they've committed, and they are ready to come play for the Tigers. And that's just something that, like I said, it's not as common as it was in the past, but there are plenty of student athletes in high school that would do just about anything to play for an Auburn or another mm-hmm. SEC school. And they've been dreaming of that since they were 4, 5, or 6 years old. And for them to create that reality is very cool to see. And again, I think from the aspect of this program, I mean, going out and getting a 2028 guy like that is just a really good step in the right direction, where you establish some momentum going into that recruiting cycle, and really excited to see it under Coach Golish.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the Tuesday, usually the Monday, but with the phone lines down yesterday, taking some time to join us on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Always appreciate your time, your insight, your knowledge, and do want to confirm, because I forgot to ask this before we went on air, you are not calling us from Greece, right?
No, gosh, I wish I was, man. I wouldn't be probably on the phone with you right
Fair.
Now, Christian. I'd be enjoying the sunshine and the beautiful area that is out there.
Okay, I had to make sure, because I mean, we hit the realization of, like, come on, Ted, like we didn't get the credentials to go out there and do a live remote show from the Parthenon or whatever the case may be. But I do want to flip over to the hardwood side of things, because Auburn did just wrap up a really, really cool week over in Greece, being able to play some basketball together for the first time, I guess, seeing a different color jersey, a different opponent on the floor. And your biggest takeaways from what you saw with this Auburn team? I mean, it feels like it's a team that was built around Tahad Pettiford, and I think you saw a lot of that in game one, but you're starting to find these guys that have really crafted their specific roles, and you feel as if this team is oozing with confidence as they make their way into the summer and into the fall as well.
Yeah, obviously the two games, and both of them went a little bit different than each other, with a dominant win on Saturday and then a close loss on Sunday. And with these games, you went into the weekend already without four of the guys that you expect to make an impact this mm-hmm. season, and the two international prospects and Ngoy and Montes, and then a couple of guys held out precautionarily for injury with Owen Freeman and George Kimball III. So this wasn't really the all-encompassing look that maybe you had hoped for, but we'll get that when Auburn plays its exhibition game against Florida State and whatever other exhibition games are set to be announced. But I think that what we saw was a fast-paced, high-octane offense that is sharing the basketball. I think it was 22 assists on 33 made baskets in the win on Saturday and 17 assists on 22 made baskets in the loss on Sunday, which is really just what you want to see out of this team. I think really picking up the pace is something that the Tigers couldn't do as much last year. There, a lot of times, Auburn just got stagnant with the basketball, and now they're able to really distribute the basketball and play more fast, and that's helpful. And I think it helps the defense as well. Allowing just 70 and 71 points, even the loss, the defense looked much improved. And I think a lot of that credit goes to the rebounding ability and some of the size that has been added. Bukayo Boye had 5 blocks in the win, and he was just flying around the rim in the second game on Sunday. And then not to mention Thomas Dowd, who had a double-double in the win on Saturday and then grabbed 18 rebounds on Sunday, 9 offensive and 9 defensive rebounds in that win. He's going to be one of the most hard-nosed sub players. And I know that's cliche, but that's really what he is. He's got great instincts, and that's why he is so impressive. And then, of course, Todd Pettiford and Kevin Overton, they played lights out in the win and didn't play a ton on Sunday, and that was by design. Now, Zahad obviously left the game a little bit early, but that seems to be just a precautionary issue as well.
Yeah, it looked like they banged knees, and just hopefully something that was nothing more than that. But you mentioned, again, two of the biggest things that we talked about yesterday, defensive rebounding and the tempo, the pace, that you felt like were two weaknesses from this Auburn team last year. Doesn't seem as if that's going to be the case this year. I believe they were 10 of 14 in transition in the win on Saturday. And if that speaks for itself, I mean, if you're getting 20 fast break points a game on top of a team that's very efficient, I mean, that sets the sights for what this team could be in 2026 and 2027. We got Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us on the phone lines, and don't want you to overstep, put you in any bad spot. But again, one of the big question marks that is working its way around college basketball, because it's not just an Auburn thing of holding out a couple of the international guys, right? I mean, this is just about everywhere. And so it doesn't seem as if there's a whole lot of concern necessarily with Montas and with Narcisse Ngoi, but do we have any sort of update on what that could or what that should look like in the future?
Yeah, nothing official at this point, obviously, but I think you're right. It's one of those things where it's procedural, and you just got to make sure you do it the right way. Mm-hmm. And there's no missteps. There's no missteps. And that you just follow the guidance of everything that's going on right now. To your point, this is happening across the country with really any international prospect. There's always, it feels like every week or every day, there's a new court rule and there's a new guidance by the NCAA. So it's just being as careful as possible until you get that official word that, okay, we're good to go. And from there, then you go about it and as normal and have them involved. They're involved in practice and everything. It's just they just didn't want to go out and play a game, even if it is an exhibition, just because, hey, look, they're maybe not officially cleared just quite yet.
Yeah, nicely said. Nicely said. I know there's a lot of question marks, and I mean, shoot, in the world of college athletics, there's a lot of question marks right now, and what the day to day is going to look like. We got Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network here with us, and in hour number one, Jacob, we got to talk a lot of Auburn soccer. Coach Armstrong, as well as Kennedy Husbands and Gracie Brown, joined us in hour number one. I know you mentioned that you had your soccer rundown or run through here a couple of days ago. When you look over at the Auburn soccer complex this year, what has you the most excited about this team?
Yeah, I think Coach Armstrong and this staff, some newcomers as well, they really want to establish it similar to Auburn basketball, an aggressive style of play and be creative while also being smart. And that's going to be so important for this team. Last year, obviously, had tons of opportunities to win some big games and came just a little bit short and sometimes had a lead late, just couldn't quite hold it together. And that's where things really want to, and Coach Armstrong want to get to this program too, is closing out those games. And I think having some returnees like Dylan Driver and a Grace Ivy and a Gracie Brown, I think they're the ones that can really anchor this team and get it together. There's a bit of a goalkeeper battle going on, so we're going to find out on Wednesday night against Clemson who gets the nod there and how they perform. And obviously, there'll be some non-conference action to try and really solidify that before you get to SEC play in September.
How great of a problem is it, though, in just about every single sport, that there's a position battle, right? That shows the depth and the talent that's with Auburn, whether that's the football side of things, whether that's the baseball rotation, whether that's the soccer pitch, whatever the case may be. Again, having depths of talent is never going to be something that any coach will complain about. And Hillman, final question before we let you get out of here. I know it's something that was released earlier this morning, something that is very, very exciting, at least on the personal level. We continue to see more and more opportunities for Auburn to present itself as an entertainment center. And Nate Bargatze, one of the biggest, if not the biggest comedian right now in the world, making his way to Neville Arena in October. Talk to me about what that means, not only for Auburn, but just for what this is going to continue to look like with Auburn, again, being a hub for entertainment districts, whether that's sports or just strictly entertainment.
Yeah, it continues every week or every month. There's something really cool being excited or happening here on the Plains and on campus. I mean, between Ella Langley coming to Neville Arena at the end of this month, Zach Ryan the week before this Nate Bargatze show, his Big Dumb Eyes Goes to College tour, where he's going to wrap it up here at Neville Arena in Auburn. And then, I mean, we got a card show coming up in just a few days, in a couple of weeks at Neville Arena. Like, everything that you could ask for is coming to Auburn, and it's really cool to see, and really just bringing new audiences to campus and to the city and to the town so that they can really experience how great it is here at Auburn, Opelika, and really just the state of Alabama as well. And, of course, that goes back to the soccer match between Argentina and Iceland at Jordan-Hare Stadium. So many of these events continue to keep coming and being posted along. I would expect even more to come through as the weeks and the months go along. So excited to see all these events take place here in the city. And again, it's a new creative way of really seeing new fans and new consumer take in our great facilities here on campus. So excited for that. So excited for the concerts coming up as well as an OTV card show. Go to auburntigers.com/live. You can find the information for tickets, pre-sale, everything for all these events that are coming up here on the Auburn campus.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about the depth on the team. We won't complain if there's depth in the offensive line room or whatever the case may be. I don't think there will be too many fans that complain about the depth of stuff happening outside of just strictly Auburn athletics. I mean, it's absolutely incredible to see. A major shout out to all of those that are involved in this as well. And so some really cool opportunities making their way to the Plains here very, very shortly. Our man Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network taking some time to join us here on this Tuesday afternoon. My friend, plug everything that you have going on. I know that the Auburn Sports Network starting to amp back up. Tiger Talk, Tiger Takes as well. So plug everything that you got and what everybody needs to keep up with.
Yeah, we've got live sporting events this week on the Auburn campus. Auburn soccer opens the regular season against Clemson on Wednesday at 6:00 at the Auburn Soccer Complex. That's a huge matchup. Tigers versus Tigers, obviously, before Auburn hosts Jacksonville State on Sunday at 6:30. So both of those games will be broadcast locally on Weagle 91.1 FM and then also everywhere else on the Auburn Tigers app. So make sure you download the app and have that handy so you can listen to that broadcast. And then, we're getting ready for Tiger Talk. That'll be coming back in a few weeks. We'll have more details on that next week when we're ready for it. And then, go make sure you go to auburntigers.com for all scheduling information. auburntigers.com/live for those live event details, and you won't miss anything as long as you have the app and you go to the website for all those updates.
Awesome, my man. Well, we greatly appreciate your time. I know we kept you a little long here this afternoon, but just so much to talk to as we continue sprinting down the month of August. I mean, it's crazy. We talked about it 10 days until the high school season gets started. Only a week after that, the college football season gets started. And only a week after that, we get to see Auburn in Atlanta taking on the Baylor Bears. And so really looking forward to continuing this friendship, continuing this relationship here on the line as well. We look forward to talking to you next Monday.
I appreciate it as always, guys. War Eagle.
Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, again, taking some time to join us, usually on the Monday edition of On the Line, but with the phone lines down yesterday, took some time to join us this afternoon. And again, so much to talk about, so much going on in the Auburn Opelika area. We'll take a break. We'll come back and we will wrap up the Tuesday edition of On the Line right after this.
You are On the Line with Christian Griffin and Trip Upton on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and on the Radio Alabama app.
Wrapping up the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. Appreciate everybody for being here with us. Also appreciate Jacob Hillman, again, of the Auburn Sports Network, joining us a day after his usually slated spot Mondays at 3:30, but again with the weather knocking everything out, appreciate him for being able to take a little time to join us here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Again, a big time shout out as well to Auburn Soccer, to Coach Armstrong for coming to join us for a little bit, as well as Miss Gracie Brown and Miss Kennedy Husbands as well for giving us the player insider perspective on what they're expecting from the 2026 season, as well as what they're expecting tomorrow night, and hoping that you will help bring to the Auburn Soccer Complex. Tigers and Tigers, again, we'll talk a little bit more about that tomorrow to continue to promote that. Because again, Coach Armstrong, again, you heard from him. We've been able to speak with him multiple times, and the success speaks for itself. The character speaks for itself as well. And so you're expecting those two to work hand in hand for the Auburn Tigers as well. And while we have just a minute or two before the music kicks us out of here, I saw that the tee times were announced for the first and the second round of the FedEx St. Jude Championship. And Jackson Koivin, again, who did finish 70th in the playoff rankings.
70 out of 70th.
So again, he tied Tiger.
Yeah, for least amount of starts.
Least
to make
amount
the playoffs.
Of starts playoffs. To make the playoffs, and it was five. And
yeah,
the idea again, the fact that what we just said tied Tiger Woods for the lowest number of starts to make the playoffs. But he will be teeing off by himself both days. He is 7-10 on round one. He is 10-05 on round two. And our good buddy Christian Clemente quote tweeted that and said Koivin might play a 2-hour round. And again, he is notorious for playing rather quickly, unlike a lot of the players on the tour. And so the idea that he now, I wonder if that takes away a little bit of the pressure, takes away a little bit of the drama, because you don't have to sit and wait for everybody. I mean, you're literally the first one on the course. You just get to go play a round. And being the 70th out of 70, it's not as if a lot of cameras are going to be
you're playing
keeping
house
up with
money.
You, it's house money. I mean, once you get to, you know, 15, 16, 17, 18, that's when the cameras and the coverage will start picking up. But I mean, you get to go play 15 holes of just, yeah, let's go attack pins. Let's go see what we can do. And so really cool, A, that Koivin made it. But then again, he gets to play by himself, which, again, if you're the first one on the course, hard to complain about that.
Yeah, go ahead and do the trial run, see all the conditions.
Yeah, not too bad whatsoever. Appreciate everybody for being here with us this afternoon. He is Trip Upton. I'm Christian Griffin. And sports are so much better with an opinion. Whether you love them, whether you hate them, we're back tomorrow to talk all about them. And we hope you'll be there to join us.